Madrid Rishvedna Kalena Grihopayatan
Rishvedna Kalena
Drashtasi Siddhan Anurakta Loka
Drashtasi Siddhan
Anurakta Loka Evam
Vidag
Prithvena Kalena Grihopayatan Rashtasi Siddhan Anurakta Loka Evam Das
Vidya
of the Brahmanas.
Angriya,
by the foremost. Anumata,
Anumata,
approved. Anurita,
received by the
simple
succession.
Dharma, religious principle. Pradana, he whose chief interest is.
He whose chief interest is.
Anayamata.
Anayamata.
Anyatama.
Anayamata.
Unattached.
Unattached.
Avita.
Avita.
The protector.
The protector.
Asya.
Asya.
Of the earth.
Of the earth.
Rishvena.
Rishvena.
Short.
Short.
Kalena,
in time,
Griha, to your home,
Upayatan,
having come personally, Drashtasi,
you will see,
Siddhan,
perfected,
personality,
Anurakta,
Loka, being loved by the citizens. Translation provided by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Vishnu continued, my dear King Prithu, if you continue to protect the citizens according to the instructions of the learned Brahmana authorities, as they are received by the disciples' succession, by hearing from master to disciple, and if you follow the religious principles laid down by them, without attachment to ideas manufactured by mental concoction, then every one of your citizens will be happy and will love you. Well, one sentence. We haven't stopped. And very soon you'll be able to see such already liberated personalities as the four Kumaras, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanandana, and Sanakumara. That was all one sentence. So let's repeat that. Lord Vishnu continued. My dear King Prithu,
if you continue to protect the citizens
according to the instructions of the learned Brahmana authorities, as they are received by the disciples'
succession,
by hearing,
from
master to disciple,
and if you
follow
the religious principles
laid down by them,
without
attachment
to ideas
manufactured by mental concoction,
and every one of your citizens
will be happy
and will love you.
And very soon,
you will be able to see
such already liberated personalities
as the four Kumaras,
Sanaka, Sanatana,
Sanandana,
and Sanakumara.
Purport.
So Lord Vishnu is making a prediction. Of course, we'll find out if his prediction was accurate or not. But I think we can have some confidence. It's probably a pretty good prediction. But here's the Srila Prabhupada's purport. Lord Vishnu advised King Prithu that everyone should follow the principles of Varnashram Dharma. Then in whatever capacity one remains within this material world, its salvation is guaranteed after death. In this age, however, since the system of Varnashram Dharma is topsy-turvy, it is very difficult to strictly follow all the principles. The only method for becoming perfect in life is to develop Krishna consciousness. As Varnashram Dharma is executed from different positions by different members, by different men, so the Krishna consciousness principles can be followed by everyone in every part of the world. There is a specific purpose in mentioning herein that one should follow the Dvija Griyas, the most prominent brahmanas, like Parasara and Manu. These great sages have already given us instructions on how to live according to the principles of Varnashram Dharma. Similarly, Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami have given us rules and regulations becoming pure devotees of the Lord. It is essential, therefore, to follow the instructions of the Acharyas in the Parampara system, but receive the knowledge passed down from the spiritual master, the disciple. In this way, although living in our material condition of life, we can get out of the entanglement of material contamination without leaving our positions. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises, therefore, that one does not have to change his position. One simply has to hear from the perfect source, this is called parampara, and follow the principles for practical application in life. Thus one can obtain the highest perfection of life, liberation, and go back home, back to God. In other words, the change required is the change in consciousness, not in the body. Unfortunately, in this fallen age, people are concerned with the body, not with the soul. They have invented so many isms pertaining to the body only, not to the soul. In the modern age of democracy, there are so many government representatives voting for legislation. Every day they bring out a new law. But because these laws are only mental concoctions manufactured by inexperienced conditioned souls, they cannot give relief to human society. Formerly, although the kings were autocrats, they strictly followed the principles laid down by great sages and saintly persons. There are no mistakes in ruling over the country, and everything went perfectly. The citizens were completely pious, the king levied taxes legitimately, and therefore the situation is very happy. At the present moment, the so-called executive heads are more or less selected from materially ambitious persons who simply look after their own personal interests. They have no knowledge of the Shastras. In other words, the executive heads are fools and rascals in the strict sense of the term, and the people in general are Shudras. This combination of fools and rascals and Shudras cannot bring about peace and prosperity in the world. Therefore, we find periodic upheavals in society in the form of battles, communal riots, and fratricidal quarrels. Under these circumstances, not only the leader is unable to lead the people towards liberation, but they cannot even give them peace of mind. Bhagavad Gita is stated that anyone who lives on concocted ideas without reference to the Shastras will never become successful and does not obtain happiness or liberation after death. So the text again. Lord Vishnu continued, "My dear King Prithu, if you continue to protect the citizens according to the instructions of the learned Brahmin authorities, as they are received by the disciples' succession, by hearing from master disciple, and you follow the religious principles laid down by them without attachment to ideas manufactured by mental concoction, and every one of your citizens will be happy and will love you, and very soon you will be able to see such already liberated personalities as the four Kumaras, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanandana, and Sanat Kumara. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Dhanamane Namaste Sarasudunde Vene Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Junivadi Pasca Dhyade Satarane. Prithamari was living in the area of the Yuga, I believe it was Satyuga. And actually, Satyuga, Vanashram was not so prominent because the main system was those who were interested in self-realization were hamsas, or self-realized persons, whose main source of spiritual advancement was meditation on the pastimes of Vishnu. Krite Tadyayato Vishnu, Dredam Yajitom Gai, Dwarpyam Parityarya, Kalutadhari Kirtana. That in Krita Yuga or Satya Yuga, people used to directly meditate upon Krishna's pastime. And in Treta Yuga, people used to perform sacrifice. And in Dwarpa Yuga, people used to perform temple worship. And the process in this age is chanting Hare Krishna. Now, there's not differences really in Satya Yuga. I mean, there are differences, but the process of self-realization is not really divided up into meditation, sacrifice, worship, and chanting. Actually, there's only one process, and it's a continuous process. Just like we invite people to come to the temple with the idea that they're going to hear about Krishna. And we try to make the arrangements in the temple or in the programs so that we know who our audience is, and we present Krishna consciousness in such a way as to inspire them to take up the process of Krishna consciousness. And then after they take up the process of Krishna consciousness, then we try to encourage them to learn how to associate with the devotees in the loving exchanges. And by exchanging loving exchanges with the devotees, then they become inspired to sacrifice their energies and their lives in the service of Krishna. Then, as they become mature and develop in Krishna consciousness and become pure devotees, then they're encouraged to go out and bring others to the process of Krishna consciousness, to actually present Krishna consciousness. So these are actually aspects of the Varnashram system, as I mentioned yesterday, that people are, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, sacrifice your wealth, sacrifice your intelligence, sacrifice your words, sacrifice your life in the service of Krishna. So this is the same thing Krishna said. Manmana bhava madhvato madhyaji mam namasguru mame vaishasi satyam te prati jani priyosi me. The devotional service is a continuum. Without hearing about Krishna, without trying to do something in Krishna's service, in other words, whatever we can hear, and that's where we actually apply, then we won't experience it. So that's called Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. So the beginning is hearing, and then Kirtan, Shrinvatam, Swakata, Krishna, Punya, Shravanam, Kirtanam. But that's not where it ends. Even after people get some experience that this actually is a nice thing to chant Hare Krishna, it's a nice thing to take prasadam, etc. Still, there are further levels of development in Krishna consciousness. Just like we're inviting people to come and chant Hare Krishna and to take prasadam, etc. And indeed, in other yugas, other Kali yugas, the same process is there. But in other yugas, people achieve up to the platform of liberation, which is achieved by the aim of Varnashram. But we want people to go further. In other words, we want people to take up sadhana and then to engage in loving exchanges with the devotees, to become a member of the ISKCON movement, committed members in some way or another, by initiation or by other kinds of membership, and then to actually seriously take up the process of fellowship, to actually be with the devotees and exchange the offering gifts and charity and accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind and confidence, and hearing submissively, offering gifts, accepting gifts, revealing one's mind and confidence, and inquiring confidentially, accepting prasad, and offering prasad. These are loving exchanges, and then one has to learn how to exchange them appropriately. I mean, obviously, as soon as we come to the Hare Krishna movement, we sit down for the Sunday feast, someone throws some prasadam on our plate. Or they offer loving, depending. But somehow or another, we get prasadam. So, we're offering prasadam. Someone's offering, someone's accepting it. But there can be some refinement in that process. Just like every day we eat prasadam, but there's a difference between just eating prasadam and honoring prasadam. So that has to be further taught in the association of devotees. And even if we love prasadam, even if we're exchanging the different loving exchanges with the devotees, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated in the Srivasanga, they're all having a very good time chanting it during the night. They're all in ecstasy. But then at some certain point, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to break open the storehouse of love of God, and they took the kirtan outside. Now, taking the kirtan outside means that, you know, there was bigger responsibility. Someone had to take the kirtan outside, and maybe some people wanted to come and take prasadam, etc., etc. So the preaching movement started, the real preaching movement, when they took the kirtan outside. And they started to distribute, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started to preach, distributed knowledge to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Saraswati, although he continued on with Ramananda Roy, Srup Damodar, and Sika Bihiti and his half-sister, discussing Krishna's confidential pastimes in Jagannath Puri. At the same time, the Sankirtan movement was in full swing. And what was the idea of the Sankirtan movement? To make people into devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India, and just by glancing at people, or they hearing his chanting the holy name, they became pure devotees. And then they went to the villages, they didn't say, I'm a pure devotee. No, they... Can't you see I'm a pure devotee? No, they chanted Hare Krishna to the people. And because the chanting was so pure, other people, just by hearing them chant, they became devotees. And that way the Sankirtan movement spread. Or as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the Buddhists, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was defeating the Buddhists. Some spiritual master of the Buddhists, he was having some discussion with about Buddhism. He was defeated. So the Buddhists became very disturbed, they had the spiritual master of the Buddhists, and he decided he was going to get even with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he got a plate of unofferable food, which we can't even imagine what was on the plate. And then they presented to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, here's some maha prasad for you. But of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he has some good friends, such as Garuda. So Garuda came, picked up the plate, all the so-called Mahaprasad fell on the floor, and the plate Garuda dropped on the head of the Buddhist spiritual master, cracked open his head, and he fell unconscious. Or as they say in English, don't mess with the best. And so all of the disciples of the Buddhists became very disturbed and prayed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to please save them. So he said, chant Hare Krishna in his ear. So he initiated all the Buddhist disciples and then became pure devotees simply by surrendering to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then they chanted the mantra into the Buddhist ear And he woke up and he started to chant and he was initiated by his disciples, the Hare Krishna mantra. So this is the process of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Engage people in pure devotional service, bring them to the highest level of devotion, and then have them go out and make others devotees also. So in the beginning, in Kali Yuga, people are hearing, they're chanting, but what do we want them to do? We want them to come to the temple or the programs and with the devotees engage in worship to see how nice it is with the devotees not only to chant Hare Krishna by themselves, but also in big congregational chanting, Sankirtan. And then we want people to not only chant Hare Krishna with the devotees and come to the temple, but also develop relationships with the devotees, the loving exchanges with the devotees, so they understand what devotional service is. As I said yesterday, we go out and we try to spread the Hare Krishna movement, we're trying to make it bigger. And when we bring people to worship, we're trying to give people make their understanding, their initial contact with the devotee, that little shraddha, we're trying to make it stronger. And when they come in association with the devotees, then we're trying to make it warmer, so they appreciate how nice it is to associate with devotees. And then they take up the process in seriousness, four eight principles, prescribed number of rounds, etc. Doing some service for the society, maybe making some contribution. And then we're trying to make it deeper, their commitment. And when it becomes not only stronger and warmer and deeper, then we want to make it more commitment. We're trying to make it deeper when they actually start seriously engaging their energy. So after initiation, it's not the end. It means that I am Krishna Das, I am Dasa Dasa Anudasa, and under the training of an advanced devotee, I actually become Dasa Dasa Anudasa. I become the servant of all the devotees appropriately, and in that service of all the devotees, the head devotee being Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I become the servant of the Sankirtan movement to help the innocent also. And then I actually make my commitment deeper by actually going out and trying to help spread the Hare Krishna movement with the varieties of the different qualities, the different talents, the different abilities, the different assets that the devotees have. And then the Hare Krishna movement becomes broader. That makes it more attractive. Probably gives the example, if there is only one flower in a flower pot, it doesn't look very attractive. But if there's a variety of flowers arranged very nicely in the flower pot, then it becomes very attractive. So the variety of different devotees from different parts of the world, different cultures, different languages, different races, then it makes Hare Krishna movement even more attractive, broader. And then when the Hare Krishna movement is broader, then gradually the devotees not only are engaged in hearing and chanting and in worshipping in the temple and in doing the sacrifice outside the Sankirtan Jaga, engaging their energies either in the Sankirtan Jaga in devotee care or in preaching in the Sankirtan movement or making programs or whatever, sacrificing their energies, then gradually they become a pure devotee and they can easily, when they chant Hare Krishna spontaneously, they remember Krishna's transcendental form, his qualities, his pastimes, his associates, and that way they become ecstatic and develop all the qualities of a pure devotee. And such pure devotees, just by seeing them, just by hearing from them, other people become inspired to take up the process of pure devotional service. So this process, whether it's the gradual yuga process, because from the yuga, Kali Yuga, we're not simply trying to chant Hare Krishna, we're also want to worship Krishna.
the chanting becomes more powerful when we're actually in the mood of worship. And we're not only trying to worship, we're also trying to serve the devotees, become part of a community, a committed community as a servant, not only of Krishna, but of his servants. And then we want to expand it to the innocent and bring them into the society of devotees so they can also become devotees themselves. And then by doing so, by seriously taking it up, then we become, Krishna gives us all intelligence to how to chant Hare Krishna most effectively, and by such intelligence, he reveals himself to us, and we become empowered pure devotees who go out and easily bring others to the process of devotion service. So from Kali Yuga of chanting, to Dwarpa Yuga of worship, to Treta Yuga of sacrifice, to Satya Yuga of meditation, trance on Krishna, this is the process of pure devotional service that everyone has to go through to become eligible to go back to the spiritual kingdom. But in Kali Yuga, the beginning is easier, available to everyone, but if we want to get full protection, perfection, then we have to go through the whole process. Therefore, as pointed out in this verse, Vanashram, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was speaking to Ramananda Roy, he asked, what is the process of perfection? And Ramananda Roy said, immediately, Varnashrama Charavitaha Purushena Pumakraman Vishnu Rajite Panta. The path is Varnashrama. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Eko Vaya. This is external. Now, he didn't reject Varnashrama. He didn't say, you're in Maya. You don't know what you're talking about. No, he said, this is external. And then Ramananda Roy went through the Bhagavad Gita, beginning with things like, you know, Yat Kuroshi Rashnasi Yashtahosi. He practically quoted Bhagavad Gita. Patram Pushvam Balam Toyam Yome Bhai. Then he went, Madmana Bhagavad Bhakto. First he said, Sarva Dharma Purchaja Mamikam Charnam. Then he said, Madmana. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Eka Bhaya. It is all external. So as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's schizophrenic, that he didn't know, you know, he spoke Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago, the conclusion seemed to, you know, surrender. Now he said, well, that's kind of external. It's like when we read the Bhagavad Gita and wonder, Krishna says in the ninth chapter, I'm going to give you the most confidential knowledge. Then he says in the tenth chapter, I'm going to give you knowledge even better. Then in the 11th chapter, he reveals, and the etc. etc. 14th chapter, now I'm really going to explain to you what's the best of all knowledge, knowing which all the sages attain perfection. So is Krishna kind of like bewildered like most of us? And he didn't remember what he said 5 minutes before? Now he's going to present. He said, this is the best of all knowledge, most confidential. Well, I made a mistake. I just remember there's something better. No, wait a second. There's something even better. Now I finally got it. This is the best. No, Krishna is actually quite consistent. There's a difference between the most confidential and the best. Most confidential is usually given to people who have some intelligence to receive it. And the best means that you may not know anything, but this will help you come to the highest platform. So the 9th chapter is for the pure devotees. Those who have gone through what Krishna had described in the first 6 chapters of Bhagavad Gita, ultimately winding up and being able to even think about Krishna and meditate on him. And then 7th chapter begins with hearing from Krishna how to practice pure devotional service. But in the last 6 chapters, now Krishna is giving us an opportunity, whatever position we are in the material world, to deal with what we're most familiar with, what we're most capable of dealing with, namely the material energy. How material nature is influencing us. All of us have practical experience 24 hours a day. Like, for instance, Krishna says about the mode of ignorance. Now he says, one of the qualities of the mode of ignorance is it produces sleep. So all of us can go and get direct experience of sleep. And if we sleep during class, we can see how much we realize about Krishna during class. And passion. Krishna tells us about passion. You know, how to work hard in the material world, gain money, and get position and prestige and everything else, work for these things. And goodness, you know, have a peaceful mind, sense and mind control. These things are within our realm of possibility of experience. And we have practical experience of them. And we can develop either one of them or all of them and see what it's like. So Krishna explains devotional service through the three modes. And he says, but basically speaking, if we cultivate goodness, then we can understand things better, including what pure devotional service is. So this is what Krishna recommends. Now, varnashram may be necessary if we can accept pure devotional service, and there may be different stages of different persons who are different levels of spiritual advancement, but their aim, the aim of varnashram, and the aim of generally speaking, as Krishna explains, the different steps and steps of advancement in consciousness is generally liberation from material life, to get out of the material miseries of life. This is all within the realm of the four people who approach Krishna out of distress. But pure devotional service begins from the transcendental platform. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy quoted the verse from Lord Brahma, Gyane Priya Samunapastana Manteva Vivanti Samukaritam Bhavadiya Vartam Stane Sita Shudhikatam Nanavamano Vira Ye Priya Sajita Jito Taishri Lokyam. First thing Lord Brahma said is, just give up your mental speculation. Now, of course, many of us may not think we're speculating. Of course, everything we look at, we're speculating. But we're not quite aware. Unless we see through the eyes of Scripture, unless we look, remember what Scripture says, then we're just speculating. Oh, she loves me. He loves me not. Whatever. Or this happened to me. This is why it happened to me. It's all, unless we see, try to see through the eyes of Scripture, to some degree or another, we're going to be engaged in mental speculation. Because that's what's available. That's where our intelligence is at. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, chant Hare Krishna, but try to listen. That trying to listen is giving up mental speculation. And Namandeva, try to hear and just listen. And then, from who? From those who've actually heard, listened, followed, understood and followed, great devotees, advanced devotees. Now the question is, what about my position in varnashram? What about my position outside of varnashram? What am I supposed to do? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, don't worry about that. Just stay in whatever you're doing. It's all right. But hear and then try to understand and follow. Hear from the devotees, try to understand and follow their instructions, and then Krishna will reveal himself to you. Which is the whole purpose of the whole Bhagavad Gita, from beginning with Vanashram, Chatura, Vanya Mayashri Stam, all the way up to Sarva Dharma Parichaya, to actually become conscious of Krishna and surrender to him, follow his instructions. So Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Devotion that in the Kali Yuga there's no need to follow Vanashram, that just by following the instructions of the pure devotees, that will take that will give us all the benefits that Vanashram would have given us and take us past liberation to pure devotional service. Now Prabhupada also wanted to introduce Vanashram. And he did introduce Vanashram. As I said, it's not possible to avoid Vanashram, because we're not Paramahamsas. And therefore, because we're not Paramahamsas, we can't just hear and chant about Krishna and have our wife and children, you know, in loincloths, sitting out in the middle of downtown Melbourne, chanting Hare Krishna. First of all, we get arrested. And even if we were in jail, just chanting Hare Krishna and loincloths, they'd take us to a mental institution. And we would very effectively be able to spread Krishna consciousness. Therefore, for the conditioned soul, some rules and regulations have to be there, especially in regards to sex life, which is the basic principle of material existence. And therefore, we have men on one side, as I look here, and women on the other side. Why? Because material life means that unless there's some kind of regulation for the intermingling of the sexes, you're going to have a very disturbed society. And if we're not disturbed, certainly if there's children, they're going to be disturbed. And if we don't want children, we kill them all, then we won't have a society. Then there won't be any disturbance, but there won't be any Krishna consciousness advancement either. Therefore, it's rather obvious that the basic principles of agitation in the material world has to do with sense gratification. And therefore, some regulation has to be there. How we eat, how we sleep, how we mate, and how we defend. Some kind of regulation. But it shouldn't be so many rules and regulations that if you're walking down the street after you get second initiation and someone steps on your shadow, you immediately tell them they have to, you know, you immediately run and take a bath in some river somewhere because some shooter has stepped on your shadow. We're not interested in such rules and regulations. We're interested in such rules and regulations as to help us expand the heart, as to live in an unagitated, peaceful life in this material world, have nice relationships with others, and we don't become entangled in mental speculation and sense gratification, that we can go on with the process of pure devotional service and remain peaceful and happy in Krishna consciousness. So certain rules and regulations have to be there, or else our society becomes disturbed. Just like sometimes even on the altar, when the men and women are not behaving properly, then sometimes romance is developed even amongst the pujaris. And it creates some kind of disturbance, at least for the head pujari, not for the temple president. Especially when they're both married to other people. So as we can see, certain rules and regulations have to be observed both on the altar and in the temple to have a normal, civilized society. But our proposal, our process is hear about Krishna, chant about Krishna, understand something about Krishna, worship Krishna in big groups in the temple or in programs, in little groups, in namhatas, whatever, deepen our relationships, learn how to loving exchanges with the devotees, become interested in making serious commitments to the Hare Krishna movement, and then broadening our society and our Sankirtan movement to have all kinds of different programs like ministries, youth ministries, outreach ministries, program ministries, so many ministries. And then develop the characteristics of the pure devotee, become absorbed in love for Krishna, and then very effectively go out and spread Krishna consciousness to others. A complete system, so that everything is what's called, what do they call that? When everything is synergistic process that our movement expands and that ultimately we fulfill the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our previous acharyas, that we can actually direct the society in the proper way by what Prabhupada called as a cultural revolution. So I'll stop here. Thank you. Any questions? Comments, actually. Comments? Yes. Yes.
I wanted to know.
Do we have a microphone or is it? Yeah, it's a... Okay.
The pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were always concerned with the welfare of others, not just when they were publicly chanting, but even amongst each other, like when Haridas Thakur is inquiring from the Lord about how they will, the conditioned souls will be saved, or when Vasudeva Dutt was saying, I will take on all the reactions of all the living entities. So how is it that in our daily life, we can be absorbed in this mood of doing welfare for others, or is it just that it's for us, our personal sadhana, and only when we go out, that's for others?
Well, everyone you look at is an other. As Prabhupada was giving initiations in 1967, before he left for India in Seattle, one man, and Prabhupada was very liberally giving initiation at that time, but one man stood up and said, Swamiji, what is your Hare Krishna movement doing for others? And Prabhupada said, well, is it helping you? He said, yes. He said, that's what I'm doing for others. So others don't necessarily mean just everyone outside the temple when you step out there, but even in our own families. We have to see each other as Krishna's servants. Not as, you know, this is my husband, this is my wife, this is my children. No, these are Krishna's eternal servants. I've been given the responsibility to help them become Krishna conscious. I'm their servant. I'm not, ultimately, I may be taking the position as the father or the husband or the wife, or the, but ultimately, my position is their servant. I'm the servant husband. I'm the servant wife. I'm the servant father to help them become Krishna conscious. So that same thing comes in the temple everywhere. Yari deka tari kaha, Krishna upadesh, amara aigaya guruhana tari desh. Whoever we meet, we should try to help them become Krishna conscious. That means anyone. Not that we meet one of our devotee friends. We think, oh, it's a devotee friend, we're friends with each other. You know, we can go, you know, they want to go to the movie, sure, it makes it happen. No, our friendship is based upon the fact we were trying to make help them become Krishna conscious. And that's being friendly to them. Not that my good friend says, you know, let's go to the movies. You're my good friend, you know, I want to be your friend, I'll go to the movies with you. No, we're actually their friend. We'll say, well, I think I'm a little busy. Or if we're really their friend, we say, well, actually, maybe it's not a good idea. Maybe we should go and watch one of the ITV programs. Anything else? All right, thank you very much. Brother Rosh, my Bhagavatam, Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.